Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 28 is where we're looking at tonight. Jeremiah 28 is kind of an extension from Jeremiah 27 because Jeremiah 27 is when Jeremiah is given a word picture and the Lord tells him to put a yoke on. And the yoke he puts on is what you would put on oxen. It's just a wooden piece that you put on top and bottom and it's got leather straps on it. And if you remember what that represents, it represents submission. When you got oxen and they're hooked to a yoke, that means they are submitted to the owner and they will start plowing, start working, start pulling, start carrying, or whatever they do. And that yoke represents submission. So what Jeremiah is told to put the yoke on for is for the children of Judah to be submissive to Babylon. And that's not an easy message to swallow. So what we find in chapter 28 tonight is a continuation of that, and it's one who is basically going contrary to what Jeremiah has said. He is a false prophet. He is one who gives false hopes. And you know what? There are people who are like that today. There are false messengers that give false hopes. Here, what we look at, if you think about Jeremiah walking through the streets with a yoke that normally goes on oxen, can you imagine seeing somebody like that in our day and time walking around town? Well, you know what? He wore it for literally a few months, not just a day or two. He was wearing it for a length of time. And you can imagine people looking at Jeremiah and hearing his message and, you know, it's a word picture of what's going to happen to them. So in chapter 28, what we find in the first four verses is a confrontation. And notice what it says in verse 1. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest, and of all the people, saying, Now, we'll stop right there because you notice where he is from. He is from the town of Gibeon. You remember the Gibeonites when the Israelites went into the land of promise. And you remember what the Gibeonites did? They took on old bread and took on old tattered clothes. And they deceived the children of Israel and they lied to them about how they come from such a faraway land, but they were people of the land, but they were scared of the Israelites, so the Israelites made a pact with them that they would not harm them, would not hurt them. The Gibeonites lied. And here's one, Hananiah. He is of Gibeon, and that's kind of ironic because here comes forth a liar from the liars of the past. And what he does, he confronts and he puts words in God's mouth, so to speak. Notice what he says. In verse 2, he says, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now what he's saying here directly contradicts what Jeremiah has said. If you notice what it says in chapter 25 in verse 11, we'll just kind of review this real quickly. Jeremiah had said, This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Hananiah is saying they're going to only serve 2 years. Jeremiah's done told them it's going to be 70 years. Now somebody's lying, that's for sure. Notice what it says in 27 in verse 22. We finished up this last week, and it says, They shall be carried to Babylon. And there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. That would be 70 years later. Here's Hananiah on the scene saying, all the stuff's going to come back from Babylon and it's going to happen in 2 years, so don't worry about it. You know, Hananiah is kind of like there's a lot of preachers today that are, let's say, seeker-friendly. And seeker-friendly are the ones who will try to make you, when you come to church, they soften the message. They will not say anything about hell. They will not say anything about judgment. They will not say anything about sin. Now, do you know any preachers like that today? You know what? You listen to the TV and radio, you'll hear some like that. And all they want to do is make people comfortable so they keep on coming back. Well, you know what? That's a bunch of liars. Times have not changed in that sense. There are people who try to put a word in God's mouth that God's not speaking. They might say something even like this, God is love, which is truth. But they will never say anything about God being a judge and a righteous judge. And by holding back truth, they're telling people a lie. Now, Jeremiah loves the people. Jeremiah has been commissioned to give this message of truth, of judgments coming from the hand of Babylon. And he's warning people. You know what? He don't want to speak judgment, but that's God's message. He has to speak judgment. And so I want you to notice what Jeremiah, his response there. Notice it says in verse 5, "Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen." Now, wait a minute. What does amen mean?
Let it be so.
Now, Jeremiah is saying what Hananiah said, let it be so. Why would he say that? It would be great if it happened. He would like for that to happen because he don't want to see judgment come upon his people. He don't want to see judgment come because he loves the people. In other words, Hananiah, if you're speaking the truth, let it be so. And then he goes on to say, "The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place." Now, Jeremiah is saying he hopes that's what happens. But then he goes in and he gives a message of how to discern who's telling the truth. In other words, Hananiah, you've given a different message than what I've given. In other words, somebody's a false prophet. Here's how you discern a false prophet. Now, what he takes this from is from Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. And Jeremiah says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in your ears and in the ears of all the people, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries, against great kingdoms, of war, of pestilence, and of evil. And the prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him." In other words, here's how you tell whether a prophet is a prophet or not. What he prophesies, if it comes to pass, it's a word from the Lord. If it does not come to pass, then it's not from God. So here's two different messages. One of them is going to give the right message. Now, you think about it with me for a minute. Who do most people follow? Someone with just a smile on their face and God loves you. And you know what? You need to be happy because God loves you. And God's not going to punish you because He is love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Can you imagine hearing that kind of message? You know, if you go away feeling good because the preacher just wants to make you feel good, something's wrong there. But yet there's a large following of people like that. People will crowd places just to make a feel-good message hit home with them. Or would you rather go to someone who's preaching truth, telling about the love of God, but telling them about the judgment of God if you do not repent? God is love, but He is a righteous judge, and He will not let the guilty go unpunished. In other words, Jeremiah preached judgment, and you know what? We preach hell here. We preach the judgment of God. But it's not because we don't love people. It's because we do love people and we want them to escape the judgment of God. You know what? The gospel, when you think about the entirety of the gospel, and you're presenting the gospel to somebody, you're witnessing to somebody, it's not always a positive message, because you've got to give them the bad news before you give them the good news. And if all you've got is a positive message, you know what? They're not going to realize how bad their sin is. There is a radio station. Positive, encouraging. I don't know if you heard that little advertisement with that little radio station. Well, you know what? The gospel is not all positive, because people must understand that they're sinners. And if all you're going to tell them about is the love of God, and they don't ever hear about their sin, they're not going to repent of their sin. And they've got to hear that they're sinners in the hands of an angry God, and that God's wrath is abiding upon them. And the only way to escape the judgment of God is by turning from their sin and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Yet what we find is a lot of people following just the positive message. We must always preach the truth of God's Word. There is a negative, there is a judgment, and there is a hell to avoid. But there is the love of God which is reaching out to people. Now look at what Jeremiah chapter 17 said. In Jeremiah chapter 17, notice what it says down in verse 16. Jeremiah said this, "As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before you." In other words, Jeremiah didn't want to preach judgment. He loved the people. He didn't want to see the judgment of God come down upon them. He didn't want to see that happen. And you know what? It's the same way with us today. We desire to see the salvation of people. We desire to see people turn from their sinful ways and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We desire to see people come to church and to learn more and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we desire. Hananiah is prophesying peace. Now imagine that. Prophesying peace in the Middle East. You know what? That land is war-wrecked. And there's always wars there. One right after another, it seems like. Always something going on there. But yet what we find in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus prophesied about wars, didn't he? Rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. All these things were coming to pass, Jesus said. There was hard times coming, but Jesus also preached and promised peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He talked about how we can have that peace. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." Over there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says we have peace which passes understanding. You know what? What Jesus Christ promised, He delivers. For whoever puts their trust in Him, where before they were at enmity with God, when they trust in Christ, they have peace with God. Jesus Christ is able to give peace. And you know what? His peace that He gives, you know when you sense that the greatest? When you go through the deepest trials. The loss of a spouse. That's when you sense God's peace, is when you're going through the deep waters. God gives us a peace and a calm through the deepest parts in our lives. Hananiah, what happens here in the passage of Scripture we're looking at in chapter 28, notice what it says down in verse 10 and the first part of verse 11. Hananiah gets downright physical. What he does, he goes up to Jeremiah. It says, "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet of Jeremiah's neck, and he break it." Now, you know what? That'd be kind of hostile. You think about somebody coming up to you, taking something off you, and wham, breaking it. What would you do? You think Jeremiah's going to punch his lights out? What's going to happen here? Hananiah is pretty brash. And he says, in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. Wow. What does Jeremiah do? Notice what the Word of God says. He went his way. In other words, he walked away. Now, you know what? That took some self-control, didn't it? I want you to listen to what a proverb says over in Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. In Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5, the Word of God says this: Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And then verse 5 says, Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, is the Word of God contradicting itself by saying that? You're not to answer a fool, but you're to answer a fool. You know what? Jeremiah displayed that in the verses of Scripture which we just read. He answered Hananiah first by saying, Amen, may the Lord do so. Then he didn't answer him in his foolishness. He just walked away from him. You know what? It takes discernment. It takes spiritual wisdom when you answer a fool and when not to answer a fool. We need to pray for wisdom. How often have I said that recently? We need to pray for wisdom in how we respond to people or not respond at all and just walk away. There are times when we should walk away, and there's times we need to respond. Jeremiah, you know what? If we were in that situation, and Hananiah had said that after he broke the yoke off of your neck, your response would have probably been to say something, woe be unto you, or maybe something, you know. But I think what Jeremiah is doing, he's waiting for the word of the Lord to come to him. He is being patient and waiting on the Lord. That is hard for human beings to do. So Jeremiah gets word from the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 12. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying. So here's a message. He gives two messages. One is to the people, and the other is to Hananiah. In verses 12 through 14, he speaks to the people. He says, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Whenever you try to cast off the judgment of God and play it off, let me tell you, the judgment of God is going to come down on you harder. And he says he's going to make those yokes of wood, yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. That's the message to the people. It's going to happen. In other words, you think it was a yoke of wood, it's going to be a yoke of iron. It's going to be even a heavier burden. It's going to be a greater burden. And then he turns to Hananiah. In verses 15 through 17, notice what the Word of God says. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, O Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent you, but you make this people to trust in a lie. In other words, he's calling him a flat-out liar. Then in verse 16 he says, Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I'm going to cast you from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die. Boy, that's a bold message. Can you imagine a man of God coming up to you and saying, You're going to die this year. Whew. Because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. What Hananiah did, he prophesied falsely. And he threw off the judgment of God. So Jeremiah tells him he's going to die within the year. Now verse 17 tells us he died. Notice it says, So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Now somebody do some addition for me. What does the first verse say? How many months passed before Hananiah died? Look in verse 1. Anybody computing? Two months? He died within 2 months. Man, you talk about the judgment of God coming down. Boom! You know what? False teachers can be real nice. They can be real pleasant to talk to. But you know what? It is dangerous when there are false teachers. This is kind of a rarity, what we're reading right here. I want to pick your brain just for a second. And I want to ask you, how many times can you think of, or can you name specific situations in the Word of God where God struck somebody dead? Who can give me one? Ananias and Sapphira, New Testament, Book of Acts. Can you think of another? Uzzah touched the ark. God struck him dead. Boom. There's not a lot of instances there. Can you think of another? She looked back. Boom. How about them sons of Korah in the book of Numbers? Boy. Boom. Can you think of there's one instance where the angel of the Lord, and it's just as good as God doing it, because the angel of the Lord did it, hit a mass of people. Remember that one? 185,000 got struck dead in one night. 185,000 Assyrians. Remember that? They were camping against Israel, about to strike them, and everybody scared to death. The angel of the Lord come down, boom! One angel. 185,000. You talk about judgment, that is judgment. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a false prophet. We see the judgment that come down upon him. We see also a broken yoke. And I believe what Jeremiah was preaching, I believe what he preached, he desired the people to be broken. That they would repent. That their hearts would be broken and offended a holy and righteous God. I can't remember the preacher. There was a preacher, Vance Havner or Tozier, one, had a sermon where there was how God uses broken things. God uses the broken earth to bring forth a crop. God uses broken clouds to bring forth rain. God brings forth from broken grain bread. He uses broken bread to give strength to the eater. He used Peter's broken heart to make a mighty man of God out of him and preaching the truth. A broken and contrite heart is what God seeks. May we seek God's face. Ever be ready to repent and heed God's call. Being able to discern the false preachers, speakers, against that which is true. There's a lot out there today. A lot of false teaching. May God give us wisdom. When to respond and when to walk away. May He give us spiritual discernment. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, as we read of these historical times in the book of Jeremiah, we know that Nebuchadnezzar went in and killed, destroyed, took captive, captured, and 70 years later, You brought Your people back. Your Word is always true. It's tried. It's precious to us. We ask that You'd help us trust You more and more, to lean more upon Your Word, and we might soak it up more and more. that we might know You better. We ask that You be glorified in our lives, that others could see Christ in us. We ask You forgive us wherein we failed You. We ask that You would guide us into all truth and to magnify Your presence in our midst.